Welcome to Grand Final Week on the Rugby League Guru Podcast. We've got the Gurus picking the Melbourne Storm, taking on the 17 in a row, the high-flying Penrith Panthers. It's going to be a massive week on the podcast. This is the only podcast you need this week. We are going to have content falling out of our ass. Stay tuned. It's going to be a massive one. Let's kick it off.
And now the ball, away they go again. Pappenhausen! Oh, this is a dream! Ryan
Pappenhausen. Here's a clear in from the 40. Oh, he's got plenty of weight on. Scored for Melbourne.
Kickout! Yes, sir! Kickout slams it down and the Panthers have hit the front.
Welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. Today we've got a very special fan, is short for Fanatic Podcast. Joining me today is John Curtis. Now, John is a world-renowned motivational speaker, and if you don't know who John is, I highly advise you jump on Instagram, John Curtis, it's C-O-U-T-I-S, an absolute champion bloke. He's had plenty of difficulties in his life. He was essentially born with, you know, dysfunctional legs and a heap of other problems with his back that he'll talk about in this podcast. And at the age of 17, he decided to have his legs amputated and he spent the rest of his life getting around on a skateboard. Now, John is just a terrific bloke and he's sat down with some of the most influential people around the world. I mean, one in particular was Nelson Mandela. He talks about the conversation he had with Mandela and not overly rugby league related, of course, but just, you know, for him to be able to sit down with him and then to be able to sit down with me and have a chat, just an incredible sort of moment for myself to be able to interview him. Fantastic. Of course, world-renowned motivational speaker, and at the bottom of that, he is Penrith Panthers down to his core. So this is a massive week for John. He's been involved with the club for the last 30 or 40 years. He's got some cracking tales. He's really good mates with Phil Gould, you know, Greg Alexander, Mark Geyer, Brad Fittler, all of the Penrith legends. A great chat with a champion bloke. I highly advise you jump on Instagram and have a look at the great work he's doing. A legend of a bloke. I sat down with John at the end of last week and we had this chat. So the last, you know, 20 odd minutes is us talking about the prelim final coming up against South Sydney, which they've of course won now. If you were listening to the podcast on Friday, you've probably heard that bit, but the first 30 or 40 minutes is completely new to the podcast and it is a fantastic chat. Let's kick it off.
It is a dream come true. The Penrith Panthers, the 2003 Telstra Premiers.
John, welcome on. How are we, mate?
Mate, I'm going really well. How are you doing?
Yeah, all going well, mate. I know you've been a follower of the page for, you know, quite some time now. I'm stoked to have you on now.
Mate, thank you very much for the invite. And I am a bit of a fan of the bearded burbler there. Absolutely.
Mate, you know, on this Fan is Short for Fanatic podcast, obviously I have a lot of, you know, fanatical fans on the come and tell their story. Of course, you yourself, you've got quite a unique story, your life so far. Obviously, you're a motivational speaker now. Can you take me back to the day you were born, mate? Set the scene for me.
Mate, I've just turned 51 years of age, and when I was born in Blacktown in Western Sydney, and my mum and dad were told that I wouldn't last a single day, you know. And a little bit about my mum and dad. My dad's Greek, my mum's a woman, so I had one of those mixed upbringings. And they were told that I wouldn't last a single day. So it was a very challenging birth for my mum because of the shape that I was, because my legs were all deformed and bent out of shape, and I only have half a backbone. I don't have any lower thoracic spine at all. It stops at the base of my ribs. And I had next to no feeling in my legs and feet. The only time I could feel it was if you were touching them and I could see you were touching them. It was the only time. So most of my life I've gotten around in my arms. My younger days I had a wheelchair. I went from a wheelchair to a skateboard in about grade 8 at school because the kids and the bullies used to steal it and smash it to pieces when I used to leave it at the bottom of the stairs. So, but now, mate, my trusty old skateboard, in fact, I've got a few thanks to some wonderful sponsors like Extreme Skate in Brisbane. And the only thing I don't like about Extreme Skate is that they're too close to Suncorp Stadium. And that's like my kryptonite, mate. They're right around the corner. So I've been at my friend that owns it, Franco, to try and bloody move the shop. But there's no way in the world. And, of course, Evolve Skateboard, who look after all my electric ones. Have you got an electric skateboard, Nate?
I don't, mate. I'm as uncoordinated as they come. So not a hope in hell you're getting me on one.
Mate, I can actually tell that by your head. So, but look, I went through a few challenging times when I was younger, especially going through school. You know, there was, and I'm not a victim, you know, but I'm just saying that there was a lot of bullying and things that I had to overcome. And if I didn't overcome them, I wouldn't be able to do most certainly what I'm doing today. And one of my great things that I love is speaking in schools and inspiring and motivating the youth of Australia and the world to get off their ass and have a bloody dead set go. And you know what? That's led on to me now working with 14 of the 16 NRL clubs. So, and when you do that, you strike up some great friendships with players past and present, the coaches, the admin. So I've been very, very fortunate in that way, mate, that I get to call some of the greats like Cam and Cooper and Brandy and Freddie, you know, and Gus and Rabs and all these guys as pretty good mates. And I'm very honoured and lucky that they are.
Mate, we'll come back to all the footballers you've had contact with in a minute, but the list of just personalities around the world, I mean, Nelson Mandela, that must have been one hell of a thrill.
Oh, yeah, mate. He told me that he was really lucky to meet me. Well, yeah, right. Kidding me, eh? Mate, the first time I met him, what he did, mate, he actually came up and sat on the floor with me. Nelson Mandela sat on the floor with me, and I said, what are you doing, Mr. Mandela? You spent 26 years in Robben Island on the floor. Why are you sitting on the floor with me? And he goes, because it's the right thing to do. Like, what a bloody legend, mate. You know, what an absolute legend. The world has lost some wonderful, wonderful people like Princess Di, you know, like Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, you know, all these magnificent humans, Gandhi, you know, look, wonderful human beings, mate, wonderful human beings.
Mate, from an Aussie point of view, obviously another name that I know you've had a bit to do with, Alan Border. Quite a polarising character, I guess you could say, over the years. How'd you find AB?
Mate, AB, Captain Grumpy, mate, and still is a bloody legend. I was fortunate enough to go to South Africa with the Australian cricket team back in 1994. And you know, we had a great side then. Merv was there and Slats and Haydos and AB and the War Boys and Dino, God rest his soul, and Paul Rifle and Damien Fleming. We had Ian Healy was there as well. You know, we had a magnificent side. Merv Hughes was there. Billy McDermott. It was magnificent, you know, and just to be able to be with those guys and understand those guys was something that I'll cherish forever.
Tell me about your interactions with Donald Trump, mate.
Mate, I actually we did a gig. I got asked to do a gig, and he was on the same gig, but he was a long way away. You know, he literally got out of his motorcade, walked in. He wasn't the president back then. Walked in through the curtain on stage, did his bit, walked back out through the curtain, got in the car on his bike. You know,
Jeez, you could have lied for me.
No, I'm not going to do that, mate. Another one was Stormer Norman Schwarzkopf. Yeah. And he was the boss of the Gulf War, you know, the Allies and all that sort of stuff. And came out and he did a speaking engagement at the Entertainment Centre in Sydney, which I was fortunate enough to speak at as well. And I remember that he walked out to the tune of Rocky, and half the Australians got up and walked out. You know, like this guy, mate, he didn't put his hand on a single door handle. He didn't open anything. I don't even think he would have unzipped his own fly when he went to the toilet. There would have been someone there ready for him to do that too, you know. So, wow, just a different kettle of fish, some of these guys, mate.
Mate, you said that you've been to 14 out of the 16 NRL clubs. What's the most recent club you've been to?
We haven't done any this year because of what's been happening with COVID. If I went into one, I'd be in that bubble, you know, and it's a bit of a shame, really. But I think I did a couple last year. I'm just trying to remember. Oh, yeah, West Tigers, I did them. And I think I did the Titans as well. You know, so great to see the Titans going well this year. They finished unbelievably strong and just missing the eight by 2 points. I actually think that they were playing at that time, they were playing better football than probably two or three of the, you know, the sixth, seventh and eighth placed teams in the final eight. I think that the Titans were playing much better football than those guys.
It was too bad that the season was cut short for them, really.
Yeah, a bit like me, mate. I've been cut short my whole life.
Mate, take me back to your childhood. What are your earliest memories of your Penrith Panthers?
My dad coached rugby league on the weekends and stuff, or the games on the weekends during the week. He was heavily involved in the college in rugby league football club, which was based out at North Richmond. There was Windsor, Richmond, Colo. And I think that many years ago, Colo and Richmond combined to make Hawkesbury. Oh, man, my dad coached for a long time out there. My brothers played, my sister played. The only time I ever played was when they needed a ball. So I remember one of the funniest things I did. And with the games on the weekend, my dad, you know, used to get the jerseys, bring them home and wash them. And I would be the chief jersey folder. You know, I'd love folding the jerseys and become quite good at it. Anyway, I thought I'd surprise my dad one day. They had a home game, and the ground, North Richmond Oval, was probably about maybe a K from home, maybe just over a K. You know, I folded up the jerseys, and my dad had this really nice bag that he put all the jerseys in all the time and stuff. And I thought I'd play a bit of a trick on him, and I put the jerseys under the stairs and put myself in the bag and did it up. And me and the dad, not knowing any different, put the bag in the car and drove off down the bloody oval there. And he was coaching, I think, A grade or C grade at the time. And he opened up the bag to get the jerseys out. And here I was inside the bag going, "Hey, Dad, how you doing?" And I got to tell you, it wasn't funny at the time, but it was hilarious from my point of view. And all the players thought it was a bloody crack up too. And I was only a youngster then too. I would have been maybe, 12, you know, so fit it in the bag just nicely, mate. Yeah, then I remember going to watch the Panthers. From what my dad tells me, I can't remember, but my very first team that I followed was St. George, because my dad followed St. George. And I do remember being a Slippery Morris fan, you know, little short little dude with a dusty mo.
He's got some handy kids, doesn't he?
Oh, mate, how good have those boys gone? They're like bloody red wine, mate.
Fine wine. Only getting better.
Absolutely, mate. Jeez, they're going great guns. For myself, I love my Panthers, mate. And we used to go to games and on the weekends. You know, the ground back then was maybe 40, 45 minutes drive for us from North Richmond over to Penrith through Castlereagh and that. And we used to go there, and we used to sit up on the hill. Then they built the Eastern Grandstand, and we moved over there. But Mum and Dad always knew where I was, you know, whether we were walking around the oval or, because I used to love going up on the hill and trying to catch the ball, you know, when the guys were kicking for goal and whatever else. But they always knew where I was because they could see the crowd was partying and everyone was looking down. So they knew that I was quite safe and everything was okay. But the first time that we sat in the Western Grandstand and we're up there, and in front of us we played Canberra that day, and in front of us was Mal Meninga's family and his kids, and they were only little kids back then. And I think their names, Mal's kids' names were Tamika and Sam. I can't quite remember that. But Chicka Ferguson's family was there, and they came over, and, you know, they were a gun side then too. You know, they had a great side, the Raiders. And I think they were coached by Timmy Sheens, who played for Penrith, you know. So yeah. I got quite involved through some great mates in the late 80s and early 90s at Penrith. And 1990, Jeff Gerrard was the coach for the President's Cup side at Penrith. And I became his assistant coach. And Len Stacker was the reserve grade coach. And, of course, the great Phil Gould was the first season that he took over. And I remember, actually, I did a podcast with Gus, and I told him how much he used to scare the shit out of me. You know, just his presence. I mean, this is Phil Gould, you know. And still today, who I believe, you know, the greatest rugby league mind of the 20th century, you know. And Craig Bellamy also up there as well. But it's so different now, you know. It's all about player manager and, you know, management and stuff like that. It's not like how it used to be. You know, and what the players have at, you know, that they can use. Mate, we had this dusty old gym at Penrith under the bloody Western Grandstand, and all the machines were all rickety. The guys had to get in there and spray them down with WD-40, and they were bloody rattling and everything else. And it was unreal. But the smell in the place and the atmosphere in the place, you know, We had this tiny little bloody gym that's probably the size of, you know, their shower cubicles now. And we'd all get in there and train and do our bits and pieces and everything else. And it was absolutely great. 1990 was the first year we got all three grades to the semifinals. And the end of season trip was to Hawaii. And back then the club rewarded us with the season trip away. I think we only had to pay like $200. I mean, $200 in 1990 is a lot of money. You know, it was unreal. I just turned 21 years of age and we did really well as a club, you know, and the city itself in Penrith really absorbed the rugby league into it, you know, and the boys, you know, and they're quite adamant when they say that they learn a lot of lessons in losing that grand final. They lost the grand final not on the day but during the week, the lead up, you know. So
I had MG on the podcast earlier this year, mate, and he was talking about, which I'm sure you'll be aware of, that Wednesday night where they all got on the beers a little bit earlier and Gus came in and sort of said to them, you've already lost this game. It's just crazy scenes, isn't it?
Yeah, mate, it is. And you know, but what they learnt from that to come back the next year and oh man, they just brained it, mate. You know, they absolutely brained it, and to be there at the ground and winning that grand final was just unreal. You know, unreal. And you know, I'm quite fortunate enough that I go back to Penrith and go into the new academy there, and I've got some great pictures on the walls and stuff like that. You know, pictures of past and present players, and one that stands out is young Bud Alexander, young Ben. You know, and he could have been absolutely anything, that young fella. He was a gifted footballer. And it was just so sad that what happened and the lead up and everything else and then the outcome, it just ended up tearing the club apart the next season in 92, halfway through the season.
Mate, where were you when you found out about Ben?
I was, because I think it happened on a, I can't quite remember what day it happened. But I think I might have been at the club, actually. Might have been at the club, yeah. Yeah, and it was straight away my heart went out to his mum and, you know, Brandy and MG and Megan and Linda and Peter, his brother. And it was just very, very sad, mate, very sad. Lucky, mate. Whether, you know, the good thing came out of it is that there weren't any other deaths, you know, so very, very lucky.
Mate, you mentioned obviously your involvement with Phil Gould. Is there a standout spray that you remember Gould giving someone that stands out for you?
I remember Gus sometimes not saying anything was worse than opening your mouth, you know. And when the boys didn't play real good in the first time, in fact, I remember there was one game where we went back into the dressing rooms at halftime and we were getting smashed. Gus didn't even come in. He didn't even come in the dressing room. That was enough. Wow. You know, the boys knew, like, fucking hell, they were just playing so bad, you know. So, but they went out there. We didn't win the game, but they most certainly improved. So just the presence of the guy, mate, you know, and it's the charisma that he has is just unreal, just unreal.
Mate, I love seeing that old footage when I'm pretty sure it's Billy Harrigan sends him from the field and he's
goes over the sideline and said, get out of here. And Gus going, well, what are you talking about? And he just sends him, you know, like, wow. Being ejected out of a bloody NRL game.
Unheard of. Goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Mate, you mentioned Greg Alexander there. Obviously, Brandy, in my opinion, if not, you know, the greatest Penrith player, definitely one of. What was your favourite memory from Brandy?
I think that Brandy, he went to fullback too late in life. I think that he was at that time the quickest player over 40 metres that the game had ever seen. Now, the acceleration that he had, and he had quite a big stride too, and that made him quite hard to tackle if you hit him too low, you know. Your timing had to be perfect. He had everything. He had a great kicking game. He had a great passing game. I mean, look, I've got to be honest with you. I think the best kicking passing games that I've ever seen, there's probably two. There's Joey Johns and Ricky Stewart. You know, you're not going to beat those two guys there. You've got players like, you know, Peter Sterling and Steve Mortimer from the olden days. Steve Mortimer could only pass one way. He had to turn his back on on the attack, and that was dangerous, you know. So, but Brandy was just, mate, unreal. And, you know, we play the games and stuff, and then we go back to the club and, you know, have our stuff and whatever else. And the boys would always, always look after me, you know, and make sure that, that I was taken care of, that, you know, because there was a lot of drunk people around, a lot of idiots. And yeah, they were always right there, mate, and taking bloody great care of me. And I think one of the things that really stands out for me with Brandy is how cool he is under pressure. You know, I think that was a huge thing. And also, you know, when he played for Australia, actually played on the wing for Australia, he scored that try. And, of course, I think was it a backflip that he did there after scoring that try? Like, that's just athleticism. You know, you see a lot of players do it now. But, I mean, look how much the game's changed now. And then how high these magnificent athletes can get just to catch a ball over the top of each other. It's, and then come down, you know, they can taut their bodies. They can be 10 foot over the sideline and still put the ball down in the corner and score a try, you know. Like, that's, and they've got hands like bloody baseball mitts, you know. So it's just unreal, mate, unreal.
Speaking of unreal talents, mate, obviously around that late 80s, early 90s period, Brad Fittler appears on the scene. What are your first memories of Freddie?
A fat pizza-eating young man, mate, let me tell you. he had a better step than Fred Astaire, and he loved his pizza, and he turned up one day on a motorbike to training, and Gus sent him home. Gussie sent him home. So it was amazing, the transformation of Freddie over the years. In fact, how quickly it was. You know, he started losing weight, started getting in shape and doing all that sort of stuff. And, I mean, look at him now. You know, I think he's been a great student under Gus. You know, and he's learned his ways, and he's a little bit of a yoga nut, you know, and does all this sort of stuff and things. And I think he brings that into the Origin guys as well, which is quite funny. So, but, you know, I've known Freddie since he was a teenager, you know, and to see where he was and where he's come to is unreal. Same as MG, mate. I remember I did a talk for Penrith and Royce was coaching. And I said to MG, I said, mate, how much has rugby league changed your life? And he said, and this is where I was a bit dumb, right? He said, oh, mate, if I didn't have rugby league, I'd be in the bay. And I went, what, Summer Bay? Yeah. And all the boys started bloody laughing at me and taking the piss out of me, because I had no idea. I was so naive, you know. But, yeah, he's also another one that's come a very, very long way, mate. I mean, those battles he had in the Origin games and how just tough he was, especially playing for my Panthers, you know, it was unreal. What a great athlete.
Mate, that night he went toe-to-toe with Wally, just goosebumps.
Goosebumps. Poor old bloody Benny was never going to pull him off him if it happened. There was no way in the world. I don't know why Benny even put himself between them. And I think the referee was David Manson as well. Bloody hell. You've got guts there, right? There's no way you get in front of MG when he's going off like that. Absolutely no way at all.
Mate, you obviously mentioned the death of Ben Alexander there before, and like it really did tear not only the club but the community apart. I mean, Freddie, a couple of years later, he ends up following Gus to the Chooks. You got, I know when I spoke to MG, he said his life just went off the rails. I think he ended up at Minor, yeah. Brandy makes his way.
He played in a few different spots. I think he went over to the Western Reds or the Adelaide Rams for a little while, and those clubs didn't last. That's when he might have come back. I can't remember if he went to Balmain first or he came back to Balmain under Alan Jones. Mm. And then went up to your minor, the minor bunnies actually, is where he finished his career.
Like all these stars from that 91 grand final premier, you know, that grand final win, they start to leave, and it's a slim few years. Obviously we all know what happens in 2003, and we'll get to that fairy tale in a moment. But those, you know, during that Super League war and the years leading up to 2003, what are your memories?
I did not like Super League war. I understand that it had to happen, but I think what I didn't like about it was the way that it happened. You know, all this underhandedness and backstabbing was just a bunch of bullshit. I think if they were upfront and honest about it and worked together, they didn't have to have that divide in the competition. And you can't blame the players, mate, because they're worried about their livelihood. You know, they've got families and everything else. And you know, someone offered you, you know, $500,000 to jump ship and go and work somewhere else, you got to go, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll see you later.
Yeah, see you later, you know. So, you know, wherever, you know, people say, oh, what about the loyalty and everything? It's, let me hear, money talks, people. Money talks. And when you've got a young family or you might be struggling, you got to really look after yourself. So, I didn't blame the players. Sometimes I think the managers need a good kick up the arse, the player managers. But you can't blame the players. One thing that I don't like in today's game is how easy it is to walk out of a contract. You know, how easy, and I mean, and let's use DWZ, for example. You know, 1 year he's playing for us, and halfway through he goes and plays for the bloody Bulldogs. You know, I think that's a load of bullshit, mate. The only one that I really admire there was Gordon Tallis from when he left the Drags and went up to the Broncos. And he sat out for 12 months.
Yeah, a whole year. Yeah.
The whole year because of his contract. And that's how you're meant to do things, you know? And I just don't like they can just, you know, 1 week play for this club and the next week they're playing for somebody else. And that comes back to the managers, you know, not teaching these guys ethics and morals and bullshit like that.
They're running the game now at the end of the day.
Yeah, I know, and I know that there's a lot of people that don't like him. I know that Gussie's a little bit annoyed with him and Volandis is a bit annoyed with him. And you know, they just got to think about the bloody game and the players and teach these kids especially what a contract is actually worth. You know, Gary Packer used to say, you shake my hand, you got a deal. You know, and that was it. There's none of that now.
Mate, it's obviously during this Super League period that a young bloke comes through the ranks at Penrith. He'd go on to captain your 2003 team, Craig Gower. What are your first memories of Gowie?
Good old Gowie, fair dinkum. You know that there were a few people that didn't give him much of a chance, you know, and he went on to be one of the best players for Penrith for a couple of seasons, mate, and led by example, especially in 2003. He started putting his body on the line. He started getting hammered and started hammering people, you know, and he really led by example. And I you know, that was a great side, the Puller Tour boys and Waterhouse and the Adamsons, and you know, there was a wonderful side, that side. And you know, we got Sattler running across there, and I think it was in about the 52nd minute, and the rain was pouring down. If he didn't make that that tackle on Burns, then we would have been shot ducks, mate.
Oh, mate, it was a massive turning point in that game. The momentum was starting to head to the Chooks there,
mate. It was as much turning point as was Mitchell Moses missing a goal in front the other day.
Fuck, have you ever seen a bigger turning moment or what?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, maybe I have. Maybe when Ben Hunt dropped the ball in the grand final against the Cowboys,
yeah,
off a kickoff.
Right up there, mate. Yeah. That obviously, you know, 2000, 01, 02, they're not great years for the Penrith Panthers. And, I mean, even in your wildest dreams, did you think 2003 was around the corner or what?
No, I didn't. But you know who did? Johnny Lang. Absolutely. An underrated coach, Johnny Lang. I'll tell you who else is an underrated coach is Brian Smith, one of the best young player coaches. Mate, he's coached something like 600 games, Brian Smith, you know, and the best young player coaches ever to coach, you know, a rugby league team. I think what Brian did at Parramatta during the 90s was unreal as well. I think that maybe he overstayed his time a little bit there. That was probably his downfall, that he overstayed his time, and I think the players just became used to it.
Mate, I always look back at that 2001 Eels side under Brian Smith, and fuck, if there's ever a better team to not win a premiership, I'll give it away.
Mate, you know, they had Jared, Hindmarsh, Kalis, Burt. They had guns all over the park, mate. Just couldn't get over the line. Does it come back to there's too many eyes in team, like, you know, Jared, you know? So it's, I remember when he came up here and he played for the Titans. It was the biggest crowd the Titans have had in many years when he first came there. It was electrifying, I will say. Mm. And then they had the fallout, you know, and what happened with Neil Henry. Again, another underrated coach, Neil Henry. He's a great bloke. The powers that be at the Titans should never, ever have made it about Neil Henry and Jared Hayne. Should never, ever have done that. And that was their downfall. And then Garth Brennan comes up. Garth didn't even get a chance. He didn't even get a chance to cement what he wanted to do in the club, you know. And again, he coached at Penrith. He was driving down from Newcastle to coach at Penrith.
John, I imagine you would have had a bit to do with Garth over the years. And from what I've gathered, all the blokes up there at Penrith, they absolutely loved him as a coach. And he had success each and every year in those cup sides.
Yeah, mate, he sure did. And again, probably a very underrated manager of people, Breno. He did a couple of strange things, absolutely. But they loved him, mate. And it showed in the success that he had, you know?
Mate, I really hope he does get another gig somewhere because he, like, that Titans job, it's near impossible to get it right at the end of the day. Like, I mean, the bloke up there this year, he's done sensational. Don't get me wrong, but still in 18 months' time, it's going to be interesting to look back at how he's travelling because it's almost just like a black hole for sport in Australia,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the good thing about Justin, he also played football for Penrith. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, he only had a handful of games, but yeah.
Yeah, he had a handful of games. But look, I'll tell you this, Nate. My vision on sporting teams up here on the Gold Coast, whether it's league, AFL, soccer, baseball, basketball, none of them have been super successful. None of them. They had so much support, so much infrastructure, so much money put into them, but none of them have been super successful. And I believe the reason is because the players come up here and think it's party time, mate. They can't get out of that holiday mode. And that's what happened. So it doesn't matter the code. It's their mindset. It's their mindset that's making it very, very hard. But I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that Justin can really, you know, get that out of them and get him playing rugby league, which we saw in the last five games. I think they won their last five games, didn't they?
Yeah, last five in a trot. And I mean, it's definitely the best squad they've had since, you know, those are, like, people forget the early days. They were a top four side with Princey and Preston Campbell, Luke Bailey.
Absolutely,
like, they were a solid franchise then.
Yep, they sure were. They were a gun side, mate. Minicello, Bailey, you know, they had some bloody great, LaFranchi, they had some great players in there, you know. And Cardi was coaching. And so I just hope they can get back to winning a bit for the coast, you know. And they want people to come and watch them play, then they got to start winning. People won't go and watch losers, mate, but they will go and watch winners. And I hope that works for Beck and Daryl, the owners of the franchise.
Mate, back onto your Panthers, and I was having a look yesterday on NRL.com, and they had a thing voting for who was the best performance that won a Clive Churchill medal, and Jonathan Thurston got the votes for 2015, and for me personally, I always think back to Luke Prittis that night for the Panthers. I mean, 45 tackles. '03, yeah, 2003, yeah. Mate, 45 tackles. I think he had two tries. Some of those balls he was throwing to Luke Rooney in the pissing rain, just unbelievable. Yeah. It's one of the most underrated performances ever, in my opinion.
Mate, I totally agree. I mean, is ever going to be an underrated hooker? Yeah, he is most certainly it.
Yep.
You know, he played in a few different clubs, and what he did at Penrith, you're right, I think that he who won the Clive Churchill medal that year?
He did get it in 2003 that year. That's what I'm saying. I thought it was just, it's one of the most underrated performances though, because he doesn't get spoken about as much as he should.
No, you're right. And I think that if he didn't play as good as he played, they wouldn't have won.
No.
You know, he was the engine room, mate.
Yeah, for sure.
And they steered him around the park. And I mean, in that rain, in that weather, that ball would have been so heavy. And getting that, it was unreal. Great effort, mate.
Mate, at the end of the day, like the performance he had, it wasn't a game that was made for hookers. It was pissing with rain. It was like, it was just an incredible game. And as I said, some of those passes he was throwing that night, as good as Smithy is, I've never seen him play a game like that, showing that sort of skill set. He's just incredible that night, Luke Prittis.
Yeah, you're exactly right, mate. And, you know, Mickey Ennis was another pretty good hooker too, mate. But Prittis on that night, it's probably the best game that he's ever played.
For sure. Incredible stuff, mate. You had I forget what they used to call them. Were they called the Hair Bears or the Hair Twins? What did they used to call Pontour and them?
Yeah, the Platoon Boys.
They just exploded onto the scene that year, didn't they?
Absolutely, and mate, they were good Kiwi boys, mate. That they went on to represent, you know, New Zealand as well, and they were formidable in the in the black bloody jerseys too, you know. Oh, man, they were great. We also had Frankie Pritchard there as well. He played with us for a season or two. And, mate, but those Pula Tour boys, mate, they're unreal. I've used that word a lot today, unreal. But, yeah, they're good boys, mate. They're good boys.
The other guy I remember from that 03 grand final, mate, that I couldn't have been happier for, he wasn't a Penrith junior. He came from Steelers, obviously, but Ryan Girdler that night. I'm not sure if anyone deserved it more than Girds.
The skunk, mate. Hey, good old skunk. Oh, yeah. How good of a player is he? You know, goal kicking, scoring tries. Again, and what he did for New South Wales, you know, and Australia. But underrated, I think he underrates himself the most. Girds. I think that never been one to talk about how good he is or blow smoke up his own ass. He just let his football do the talking, you know. And when he came up from the Steelers, it was a goodbye for us.
Mate, I'm finding more and more guys like Girdler that they finish their career and, you know, they become the funny guys like him, Fletch, Hindmarsh, you know, they become so funny on these shows that people forget just how good they were as footballers.
Yeah, you're right. And not just funny, mate, they're quite intelligent. You know, you can still... You know, it's okay to be the, you know, the scapegoat on shows and whatever else, but they're still quite intelligent guys. I mean, look at Matty, for example. You know, he had Red Dragon and the flight stewardess and all these characters. But mate, he's one of the most intelligent blokes you'll ever meet in your life. And his boys are going bloody awesome too, aren't they, Jack and Coots?
They're flying. Yep, absolutely flying.
Imagine if they play each other in the grand final.
Battle of the Ball Boys. Could be anything.
Battle of the Ball Boys.
Mate, obviously, fast forwarding, you know, post 2003, you know, Penrith, they're hanging around there for a few years, still that Craig Gow, Reece Wesser sort of era. Obviously, you haven't returned to the grand final since. You've got the opportunity to do it this weekend.
Yep.
Tell me about this current squad, mate. Who's your favourite players? It's got to be the halfback, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He's handy.
Mate, he's very handy, isn't he? Jeez, and doesn't he look like his old man?
It's scary. It is uncanny.
You know what I'm enjoying with these young guys? That the way that they're embracing the old guys like JT, Jimmy, you know. I think that these young guys that have come through, they've played already so much rugby league together in the lower grades and the younger grades. They just know where each other's going to be, you know. And the way that Ivan's put them together, he's got a recipe for a wonderful cake there, let me tell you. And it could last. We could be eating that cake for many, many years to come. So fingers bloody crossed. I'm enjoying, you know. What about Brian's calf muscles? Have you ever seen that?
Mate, I'm not sure if there's a harder bloke to tackle out of his own end. He's just an animal.
Mate, the meters that, like when you hit him and he just keeps going and going and going, you know, and But his calf muscles, mate, fair dinkum. Those calves, when they were bred, must have been on steroids. Fair dinkum, they're just bloody huge. And then on the other side, you got Sauce. Thinks he's a male model. Sauce never puts a bloody shirt on.
He's not bad looking. He backs it up.
Oh, you just like him, mate, because he's got a beard. You know, we're doing all right. I mean, we got Dylan back this year after he's had a few injuries at fullback. And you know, we got Dirty Stains, you know, on the bench waiting to come on. And, you know, it's just as much the 17 every week and then the outer reserves that we have that can come in and fill in, you know. I mean, Kickow's out this week for us and we got Capes coming in, you know. But Liam Martin, underrated. You know,
Liam Martin's the one for me. He's been amazing this year, Martin.
Oh, mate. Isaiah Yeo, all these young guys, mate. You know, all these young guys. Fisher Harris, they're just great, great boys that are just coming through and enjoying themselves. And you can see that enjoyment. You get these older guys and these older teams that I think don't have the enjoyment in it like they are.
Mm. And obviously the big one for me this year, and I think he's really been the missing puzzle piece for you guys over the last few years, Appy Curaçao. He was obviously originally at the club. He left. He's now returned and... Mate, it's like he's just fit in. He's just part of the furniture, isn't he? Like, he's just been incredible this year.
Let me just say this. Sucked in Manly. Sucked in Manly.
For podcasters that can't see, he's pulling the finger at the moment. There's some carry-on over there. He's enjoying himself.
I just gave him the dead set fucking bird. You can hear me then, podcasters that can only hear me. Thank you, Manly. fuck you. We're glad to have him back. But, mate, you know what I love about Appy the most? I'm nearly taller than him, you know? But he
has... saying something.
He has been a buy of the season, even the past few seasons. Mm. You know, to come back and to have his dominance, the way that he's guided those boys around. He started off with us. He went over to Manly. He learned a few tricks of the trade and everything else, and he's come back with such maturity. It's been a wonderful exposition to watch him go, mate, you know.
And he's been fantastic himself, but I think he's brought the best out of Nathan Cleary as well.
Yeah, I think it's taken a lot of pressure off him. And Romy as well, you know, they're all taking pressure off each other and they know that they're there for each other. I mean, even Jimmy Tami this year kicked a bloody grubber into the bloody in goal and they nearly scored a try from it, mate, you know. So, and when I spoke to Jimmy, I said, what the hell? He goes, well, you taught me to do that, remember? I said, you dickhead. So I really do. I'm enjoying watching them play how they're playing. Even like when we played the bloody Roosters, we come from behind. We were shot ducks. Everyone was riding us off, mate. They were riding us off. They're going, oh, they're fucked now. They're never going to bloody get. And then we knuckled down. You know, we started playing the game our way. And nearly bloody lost it because we stopped playing. So, mate, I don't think my heart's ever beat so hard. Let me tell you. I was on the edge of my seat. And if you're not on the edge of your seat, baby, you're taking up too much room. But I was right on the edge of my seat watching that one.
Mate, speaking of Nathan Cleary, obviously you've had a lot to do with the club over the last 30 or 40 years. And in my opinion...
thanks for making me feel old, mate. Thanks.
Had to get one back on you.
Yeah, I know.
Mate, in 10 years' time, I think we're going to look at, you know, the three key halfbacks in the history of the Panthers, Brandy, Gowie, and probably Nathan Cleary.
Yeah.
How do you think in 10 years' time we're going to look back on Cleary? Is he going to be above those guys? Is he going to be even with them? How do you see him going?
You know what I love about Nathan so much? And if you ask him that question in 10 years' time, you know what he's going to say?
What?
It was the people around him.
Yeah.
It was the Romy. You know, it was his forwards, the Get-Go, the Appy, you know, all those guys. It was all those guys that had all the Get-Go. I mean, if you look at Brandy had Scarter. You know, and he had the forwards that were going forward. He had Greg Barwick at fullback, you know. He had the lot of the pressure could be taken off him. And I think that's super important. I mean, look at, you know, for example, you know, Mitchy Pearce at the Knights. You know, they ended up falling in a heap towards the end of the season because they couldn't find another 5'8". You know, they got Greeny, but then he hurt himself.
Yeah.
You know, and they really struggled with that, and it put too much pressure on him. You know, I hope and I wish that that Mitch would stay up there and they would sign, but I think Foran's gone back to Manly, hadn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, like Foran would have been great up there, mate. You know, so they need to have, even when JT, like when JT, the great JT, you know, what made him great was the people around him. You know, he had Morgs, he had his forwards, you know, and they're the ones that made him who he is. And the good thing about that is that they will all tell you that. Not one of them will say, well, oh, fuck yeah, I'm a good player, aren't I? Now, none of them will say that, mate. They're all very humbled and everything else. And that's what the game, that's what the greatest game rugby league does for young people. It molds them into men.
Mate, Saturday night, you take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs off a week off for a spot in the grand final. What worries you the most about the Rabbitohs?
Nothing, because I love fucking rabbit stew. Mate, I tell you what. What worries me the most is Cody Walker.
Yeah.
What worries me the most is he's found a bit of form towards the end of the season. His cookie. You know, we got, you know, Adam Reynolds goal kicking, you know, from anywhere. Who's the flying winger? Bloody Johnston.
Yeah, he can move. Yeah,
you got Gay Guy on the other side. Gee whiz, you got this new Jackson young fella coming through as well. But when it all comes down to it, mate, it's the guy at the head of the team, old Krusty himself, the old man Clint Eastwood impersonator.
Yeah,
Wayne Bennett, you know, he's sitting there saying, I haven't really watched the Panthers this year. Bullshit, Wayne. Bullshit. You can't pull bloody kick our bloody woolen hair over our eyes, mate. We know you're not a dope. So they're, you know, all over the paddock. They know what they're doing, mate. But I have faith in Ivan and his coaching staff and my boys that We got to play our game. As long as we play our game and not their game, and simple, basic fucking football. Simple, basic football, and that's what wins.
Who are the Penrith Panthers going to play in the grand final? You got Melbourne Storm and the Canberra Raiders on the other side of the draw.
I would love to see the Raiders, but then I don't think that they will get up over the Storm, mate. I would be great if they did. You know, after what happened to them last year, Jesus Christ, that was diabolical. I don't think I've ever seen a grand final, the outcome ruled so much on blundering referee decisions. You know, and that cost them the game. I don't give a fuck what anyone else says. That cost them the game. They had the momentum, mate. They were going forward, the Raiders, and then the referee just screwed it all up, mate. So, but then if you look at that and what happens, you know, going into this year, now they were the bridesmaids last year, and they say you got to, you know, lose one to win one. That's not going to be good for us if they get there. So, but I would love to see a Raiders Panthers grand final, and of course the Penny Panthers are toppling them over by about 30.
Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. I really appreciate your time. Fan is short for fanatic, and you definitely are a Panthers fanatic, mate.
Oh, yeah, love it, mate. Love it. I love my rugby league, and thanks to my old man who bred it into me, mate.
Mate, all the best this weekend. I hope they get it done for you.
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it, brother, and good luck to you. Who are you backing?
I'm going to take Penrith and Melbourne this weekend. I think it's going to be a cracking grand final, the old versus the new. I can't wait.
And who do you think is going to get up on grand final day?
Unfortunately, mate, I think it's going to be Melbourne. I've said them all year. I just think with Smithy's last game, all their experience. As you said, mate, Penrith's got the cake there, and they're going to be eating it for a while here. It's an impressive squad.
Yeah, it is an impressive squad, mate. Listen, I just want to quickly ask you about the AFL.
The what?
Who gives a fuck? I hate AFL.
Never heard of it, mate. All right, brother. Thanks for your time. I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, bro. Mate.